What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
On the planet, this is Business Rockstars, and my guest joining me, Daniel Z. Barber, CSO and co-founder of Tangent. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Okay, so tell me, what is Tangent?
What is Tangent? Tangent is an entertainment marketing and brand strategy agency. I hope that's enough buzzwords for you. But we primarily work in entertainment, specializing in film, theatrical and franchise marketing campaigns.
Got it. Marketing, brand, entertainment, all of it together.
Oh, all the sexy stuff. Yeah.
Love it. And really multi-platform. That's the key because that's the future, right?
Absolutely. As these properties are growing, these universes are growing, the technology platforms that it's available on, you know, people are watching a movie one day, playing a mobile app the next minute, and now it's on, you know, Netflix as a TV show. These stories are kind of going all over the place, and we're trying to fuel that process with great creative content and with kind of the business plan to take it to the next level.
Because I would imagine a challenge is making different content for all of these platforms, but making it consistent and coming from the same place and brand messaging.
Absolutely. It's a balancing act. So what we try to do is kind of drill down into the DNA of what makes this story unique, what makes it tick, and what makes it work, and then kind of adapting that, because what works at, you know, a Comic-Con event might be different than what works on your phone when you're on the go. And for that matter, what works in America might work differently as you look on a global scale. So yeah, I think it's finding that balancing act between, you know, consistency, but also developing what's right for a different audience, a different age bracket, a different demographic, a different platform.
Because there's different audiences based upon what platform it is.
Yeah. You could have a movie that's a hard R, and then you want to get the kids involved with a toy program. So where do you find that,
wow,
that fine line between kind of keeping the spirit of the property intact while translating it?
But it all comes down to kind of having the same message just delivered and packaged in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah, to boil it down, yes.
You're like, it's a little more complicated than that, but we can keep it simple.
That's the meat of it, yes.
All right, I love it. I'm tracking with what you're doing. That's awesome.
Perfect. I hope they can't.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. That's what's most important. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about your background a little bit, because obviously it's in filmmaking, it's in marketing.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit more.
Well, I went to film school. I was one of those film school geeks that got out scared. Lisa, I didn't know what I was going to do. Started working at a transmedia marketing agency back when the word transmedia, everyone was still like, what does this mean? And we were kind of like, even we're figuring it out as we go. So I was working with a very talented group of people doing great creative work. And then that agency got acquired by Legendary. So then I kind of transferred from agency to the studio side, went along for that ride. And I was working as Legendary's mythology manager. So what happens when you let creative people make up their own job titles. Looking at the big picture and taking the IP that means so much to these super fans and, dare I say, geeks, and giving it that super geek level of detail and attention and making sure that everything we do is kind of born of the same DNA that these fans demand. Because when you get it right, they'll let you hear it. When you get it wrong, they will let you hear it also.
Oh, yeah.
So you're, I'd say I like to be like the Simpsons comic book guy, kind of like that first line of, well, that would never happen, and let me tell you why, and, you know, try and be as much of that before the movie goes out so we don't hear as much of it afterwards. And then departing from Legendary, I saw a very exciting opportunity to get back into the agency side, and hence Tangent. Tangent was kind of in the works before that with another guy, and I kind of joined forces with him and our partner Mark from Universal, and we kind of put our heads together and kicked it into overdrive, and that's where we why I'm here today.
Yeah, okay, let's back up for a second. Let's talk about this geek culture you're talking about.
Okay.
So these are the super fans.
Yes.
In the filmmaking world, that they want a lot of extra content, different platforms. Give me a little insight into their world.
Yeah, these people love the characters. They've grown up with the characters. These characters are a part of their life. So we're talking about the people who will dress up and go to Comic-Con, you know, as Captain America or, you know, Rey from Star Wars. It's really a part of their lives, and they engage with it in any number of ways. You know, the movie might be a two-hour experience, but then they're talking about it. They're collecting toys and cards. They're playing with it online. They're talking about it in chat rooms. It means so much to them. So yeah, I'm a geek myself. That's
nice. Do you dress up?
Yeah.
Yeah. As what? Like, what do you dress up as? I must know this.
Star Wars.
Awesome.
Game of Thrones.
Oh, I love it.
Grew up with Spider-Man, Simpsons, you know, all the classics.
Well, yeah, I'm sure it really helps to be a part of that world, to understand the world, of course. You almost have to be.
Absolutely. I've been at Comic-Con, I think, 8 years running. So, yeah, that's, like, a part of my life. So these characters, these stories mean so much to me, and I've seen firsthand how much they mean to other people. So it's giving them more of what they want.
A bigger experience beyond just the movie or show or whatever it is.
Yeah, because, you know, the on-screen, that two-hour movie that you have, you want to share it, you want to talk about it, you want to kind of relive it, but you can't live at a movie theater. So how do you take that with you on the phone? How do you wear that, wear your pride on your sleeve, literally? How do you kind of add to your ever-growing collection of geek toys like I have? and we just try and find all the ways that, you know, Snapchat didn't even exist when I first started working in this industry, and now no film marketing campaign is complete without a little Snapchat bit. So we kind of come up, okay, what are the cool organic ways that we can maybe get something going with X-Men on the iPhone or something?
Yeah.
Like that, Snapchat, you know, and we're just always looking for, you know, with VR coming out and AR, like, what are the cool opportunities? Where does technology and the platforms that are out there, how can we fuel that with great storytelling content and just create a robust, holistic experience?
Well, give me a little bit more of an idea of those various platforms where storytelling and technology collide.
Yeah, well, I just came back from South by Southwest, and I was at CES earlier this year, and we're seeing a big, you know, push, you know, with a big screen, and now we're seeing a lot of, you know, Marvel, Amazon, Hulu. The living room is kind of becoming this cinematic destination. You're getting so much talent, so much budget put behind it that you're getting these great cinematic experiences. Everyone's on their phone. How do you take that experience with you on your phone? So figuring out everything from mobile gaming to, you know, streaming platforms on the phone to social media networks. And then, you know, events. Like, people love these events. With VR, AR coming out, it's kind of a emerging technology. Some people still haven't, you know, had the pleasure of putting on a VR headset and kind of experiencing that world. So you go to something like Comic-Con, and poof, all of a sudden you're in the Game of Thrones world, and you're shivering and you're getting torn apart by White Walkers. It's all very exciting, right?
So, yeah.
So it's finding, you know, who's doing the coolest stuff, and how can we one-up them, you know, in terms of these experiences. And I was actually just at South by Southwest and saw some promotions for Universal for The Mummy. Had the world's first zero gravity VR experience. And I said, well, how can I pass that up? So went and tried that out. I'm in this big pod, and it's kind of shaking, and I felt like I was floating. I'm completely immersed, and I was like, you know, now my brain is just firing with all these ideas of how could you use that for, you know, maybe a sci-fi movie or a superhero movie, or you know, how can we take that to the next level and evolve that?
Cool. So yeah. Part of staying inspired.
So geeking out professionally.
Yeah. I'm kind of gathering that you have a pretty cool job where you just get to geek out all the time.
I'm not going to apologize.
No, you shouldn't. You should own that and keep doing it. So part of staying inspired and creative is obviously being a consumer yourself and just understanding what's out there, what other people are doing. Are there some other ways that you stay inspired and creative?
A lot of these trade shows that we're going to where people bring out the fireworks, you know, a lot of stuff they use at Comic-Con, the big Hall H thing. But honestly, New York Comic-Con has come a long way. South By has become a destination. You know, there are trade shows for specifically technology and for film and for, you know, WonderCon was just this last weekend. So the comic book industry, yes, it's still around and they're still doing some pretty cool stuff there. You know, whatever you're into, there's someone who's got a convention for it. They're bringing new toys out to play all the time, in some cases, literally. And we try and stay tip of the spear with that. And of course, film festivals and all that. And just, you know, everyone go out, get a Netflix, Hulu, Amazon account, because I think that the TV is going through kind of a golden age right now. And they're taking a lot of risks. And it's a very exciting space.
I have to ask, what are some of your favorite shows? What do you think is very innovative out there right now?
Man, Game of Thrones got me hook, line, and sinker. I'm still talking about Breaking Bad. I don't know. I watch quite a bit of television.
Any new ones out right now that you're like, this is so innovative and game changer or anything? Do you watch Westworld? I love Westworld.
I watched Westworld.
Not a fan?
I watched every episode. I got a tremendous amount out of it. My biggest thing was I had some little nitpicky details about the world that they created and then ways that they didn't play by their own rules that they had created for that
that's
world.
Fair.
So I bought into
that's
it.
That's a geeking you.
I know. I'm so sorry. We've lost all of the viewers right now.
Not at all. I love it. That's amazing. It just shows that you have such a passion for this kind of thing.
I do. And I'm a sucker for a good comedy.
Well, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about your entrepreneurial journey, what inspired you to get into it, all that juicy stuff.
Cool.
So sit tight. Daniel Z. Barber, he's the CSO and co-founder of Tangent. We are the biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
Not available in all states.
Hey, Carl, how is it you're always golfing? I thought you owned a business.
I own a Reese and Irby's robot franchise, Bob.
Robots? What do they do?
They serve 7 flavors of delicious frozen yogurt in just 60 seconds with a choice of 6 tasty toppings. I've got robots in malls, movie theaters, and hospitals, and the franchisor secured these locations for me.
Sounds so easy.
Yep, managing my robots is simple. Each takes about 2 hours of maintenance a week, leaving me plenty of time to practice my short game.
Oh, nice shot. Looks like I need to get some Reese and Irby's robots.
Easiest employees you'll ever have. Just go to frailfranchising.com. Reese and Irby's will supply everything you need. They even secure you high traffic locations. Hey, where are you going?
To learn more about a Reese and Irby's franchise opportunity.
To learn more about your Reese and Irby's Froyo robot franchise opportunity, go now to froyofranchising.com and use promo code 2828. froyofranchising.com, promo code 2828. That's froyofranchising.com, promo code 2828.
And now?
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least 2 federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least 2 federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Destination on the planet. This is Business Rockstars, and this is Daniel Z. Barber, CSO and co-founder of Tangent. So we were just talking about your entrepreneurial journey and what inspired you to get on it.
Well, it was completely unexpected for me. I had a great time working at Legendary in the studio system, and I kind of missed the agency side, and I found an opportunity. The founder. I was a great graphic designer, and I kind of filled in a skill set that he didn't have as much in terms of the writing and the big picture strategy. So between the two of us, we had a pretty good thing going. And then we brought in a guy called Mark Becker from Universal, who oversaw the franchise planning. And so between the three of us, we kind of had like a little perfect storm situation, and the timing worked out, and bada bing, bada boom, here we are.
Yeah, that's great that it worked out, because obviously choosing co-founders
is
really big.
You probably wouldn't be here, right?
But obviously really big decision choosing your co-founders, and it doesn't go right for everybody.
Yeah.
So what advice do you have for people when it comes to choosing those co-founders?
Yeah, it's a big, scary decision. You'll feel when it's right. You'll feel when you need to take the leap and when you need to take a risk on yourself. I'd been part of a, pretty big structured system. I felt very safe. I had the title and the brand recognition, the 401k. And I said, if ever there's a time to kind of get out and try and build something and really create something, this would be the time to do it. I'm not married. I don't have kids. So, try, learn, fail, do. And the time was just right for me. So I came out and joined this little trio of troublemakers. And kind of have been building this thing for the last few years. And we're on a great track. I would say know what you know and know what you don't know. For example, not a graphic designer. I could stay up all night, try and teach myself that, or I could find a great, skilled, talented, trusted designer. The business savvy, we kind of leave that to Mark. That's his field of expertise. He just got his MBA. And we said, you know what? You're the expert in this. Why don't you take the lead on that? So I think it's, I always like that quote, you can do anything, but not everything. So it's not about biting off more than you can chew and kind of doing everything like 20, 30%. It's about doing what you do very, very well and kind of building a team of people who do what they do very well and just kind of tweaking the chemistry until you kind of are banging on all cylinders, which is where we're Which is where we are, business rock stars.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're a rock star, a business rock star.
I don't want to brag, but I'm on a place called Business Rock Stars. It feels appropriate.
That's awesome. Yeah, a consistent thing I hear with co-founders is that they have complementary skills. So that seems to be a universal thing, good advice to take if you are watching or listening. So when it came to quitting that 9 to 5, I'm sure it was a lot longer than 9 to 5, but you know, your secure job.
9 to 5, laughs.
You're right, exactly. When it came to quitting that secure job, did you just cold turkey quit the job, or did you transition and kind of start the business?
I weighed the decision very heavily. I talked to people who had done something similar. I, you know, talked to people older than me who could give me some perspective. I talked to people kind of younger than me who had been doing the entrepreneur thing. So I got a lot of points of view on it. So it was a very kind of calculated decision. I gave my company a lot of lead time. I mean, I'm irreplaceable, but, you know,
you
have to try.
Yeah.
In terms of having kind of a nice, smooth transition out of there. I took some time off. I traveled around a little bit. I did some comedy and just had a little me time and recharged the batteries a little bit before I dove in. I think that's a little important to do, you know, especially if it's the same industry and just kind of need to cleanse the palate a little bit. Just kind of reconnect with, you know, your whatever it is, creative center or your spirit or your soul or anything like that. And
because a lot of people will keep their job and they'll start building the business while they have another job for stability and to stay a little rooted. But you were just went for it. And not only that, but you traveled in between.
Yeah, I traveled a little bit and I do a little comedy. So I just kind of wanted to get that back.
What kind of comedy do you do?
I at the time I left, I did this Groundlings class, which I'd been on like
improv.
Like a 6-year, you know, kind of journey. And you only get one shot to take, you know, I hear the Eminem song every time I think about it, but you get one shot to take this class. And I really wanted to put my whole time and effort into that. And I never could have done that full-time studio thing, 9 to 5, on top of this. It just would have absolutely crushed me. So I was really, really glad I got to experience that.
Does improv help you in entrepreneurship at all?
Improv helps me more than anything else in the world.
Okay, explain this. I've taken improv too, by the way.
Oh, well, I'm very
UCB
impressed.
And IO.
Oh, yes, and?
Yeah, exactly.
Improv joke.
Look it up. But how has improv helped you in entrepreneurship?
Well, I think that with starting this company and, you know, the struggles that we face, a lot of times we can have the best people. We can be doing our best work. And then the industry can change. The rug gets pulled out in these big ways, you know, acquisitions and big layoffs and budget cuts. And, you know, now everyone's looking at VR. The budgets are shifting around. So we can do that's one of the scary things is we can do everything perfectly. We can do everything to the best of our abilities and still, like, struggle and have to claw our way to every project. So, you know, with so many variables out there, being nimble, being adaptive, saying yes and
saying, explain yes and for the non-improv geeks.
Oh, I didn't know there were any out there. Yes and is just a way of saying, okay, I accept what you have given me and I'm going to build off it.
Right.
So you say the film model's changing. Well, you know, if you don't adapt, then you're done. You're a dinosaur. You're going
to
die.
Because it's tempting to want to fight it, to say no.
Well, yeah,
a lot of times that's instinct, but you have to say, okay, this is a reality.
This is
how do I build?
My experience is I've been doing it for 15 years, so of course I'm going to keep doing the same things. No, you have to be adaptive and change. And, you know, VR can come out or, you know, home entertainment, for example, is changing. We used to sell these things called VHSs and DVDs, and now it's moving towards digital. So if you try and fight it, you know, and you're still trying to win the war of the VHS, you know, that's a losing battle. So it's about, okay, so how can we get involved and understand this industry and how can we actually be at the tip of the spear in terms of the new technology that's coming out versus kind of digging in your heels and fighting against it? So that was one of the things I like being on the agency side is that you feel a little bit more in control of your destiny, for better or worse. I think television is having this phenomenal resurgence. We can go and set up meetings with television folks. What's VR all about? I don't know. I can go and talk to the VR people and understand it better.
Yeah.
You know, you're never going to know anything. So it's kind of deferring to the people who know the social really well, who know the VR, who know whatever it might be. And you know,
being a student, always learning.
Every day is a school day.
Yeah.
You've never kind of learned everything there is to learn. And I think as soon as you think that you do is probably when you might be on that slippery slope downhill because you say there's one way to do it. No, yes and.
Yes, and yes, moral of the story.
Yes.
I love it. And thanks for letting me geek out with you.
Is that all the time we
have? Yes, unfortunately we're up, but I could have asked you so many more questions.
Yeah.
So fascinating. Thank you.
Thank
really
you for
appreciate
having me.
It.
Really enjoyed it. Yeah.
You bet. Okay. Daniel Z. Barber, CSO and co-founder of Tangent. We are the biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. This is Business Rockstars. Now, legal on the go.
Hey, Sose. Do I need contracts before starting a business?
Of course you need contracts when starting a business. You have to put everything into writing from the get-go. You should have contracts with your partners. You should have contracts with your investors, with your employees. You should have confidentiality agreements. You should have non-disclosure agreements with people who aren't part of the business but may be interested in learning about the business. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. There's 1,000 kinds of agreements that should be in place before you even think about beginning a business.
Summertime is everyone's favorite time of year, especially for entertaining. But when cooking up summertime meals and snacks, you're often left with a mess. We have cleaning expert Becky Rappinchuk of the popular blog Clean Mama here, and she's got some easy tips to help clean your summer messes. Hey, Becky.
Hey.
So how can we prepare for warm weather messes?
I'll put together a summer cleaning caddy with my favorite tools. All-purpose cleaner, and my current go-tos are the new Scotch-Brite Scrub Dots line of products. Sponges, dish wands, and dishcloths. The dots are textured, so they cut through those tough messes, yet they rinse cleanly, so I don't have to worry about leftover food sticking to my sponge.
Okay, now things can be a real wreck after a barbecue. What about some cleanup tips there?
Yeah, one of the biggest, messiest spots is the spatula. We cook a lot of cheeseburgers. The cheese gets stuck on the spatula. Sometimes it's left out for a little bit long.
Hi, this is John Taffer from Bar Rescue. I've seen firsthand what restaurant owners can do with the capital to manage cash flow gaps. Cabbage is so important. Cabbage provides lines of credit of up to $150,000. Apply online and get a decision right away. Withdraw funds without reapplying. I signed up and had a decision in minutes. Cabbage has helped over 100,000 small businesses from every industry. Get started at cabbage.com/owner or 855-CABBAGE. That's Cabbage with a K.
Line of credit is subject to credit approval. See terms and conditions.
Have you heard about BizTV? BizTV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the only national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. BizTV can provide the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners. Visit BizTV.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request BizTV.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to a $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Rockstar.
Now let's go to Mark Lack.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, and joining us is Nikki Jackson. She's the CEO and founder of RangeMe. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me here today.
All right, give me the elevator pitch and however you want to give it. What is RangeMe?
Okay, so essentially RangeMe is a product discovery platform that enables retail category buyers to source new innovation for their stores.
So give me a contextual example. Walk me through. So I'm the buyer. I'm the decision maker in the process for Target.
Yeah.
Now what?
So essentially the platform ensures that if a category, when a category buyer is set up in the platform, your example is a Target, the buyer is set up with the categories that they buy for. So if you're a buyer of skincare and you only want to see skincare products, you only see products that are relevant to your category.
On your website, RangeMe.
Within the platform. It's a closed platform for buyers. And not only that, we give buyers the right tools to find the right products, whether they're looking for products with a certain margin, a certain approval certification. They may look for something that they want that's organic, certified, maybe it's minority owned. Whatever it is, they basically let us know what are their preferences and what are their filters, and the platform intelligently recommends products to them that best meets their needs.
How do you make money? Do you make money by facilitating the deals and get a small percent, or do they have to pay a monthly and that's how you make your money?
So we're monetizing through premium features that the suppliers can opt to pay for.
And you've done an amazing job of figuring out how to get the suppliers onto your platform. You were just telling me right now, you guys are averaging a crazy number. You're getting every 5 minutes a supplier is signing up on RangeMe.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, the growth has just been like that.
How have you been able to make that happen?
That's a lot of wizardry.
Okay, so explain some of your powers.
Part of it is great partnerships, whether it's with trade shows or certifications that are carried on certain products. So marketing to those audiences. We do a lot of awesome online advertising, actually capturing these brands where they are, which is typically online.
Yeah. Okay, so let's dive into partnerships real quick. And you didn't really share, you said a lot of wizardry, but you didn't share it with us yet. So I'm gonna grill you on it. I want some of those little secret tips. But partnerships, you brought up partnerships. I know that you're really good at building relationships and learning how to leverage those relationships to build a team, partnerships. Yep. So what's the secret? How are you doing that?
So a few partnerships come to mind. If you think about emerging brands, well, there's a company, for example, called Circle Up, who help emerging brands get funding. So we partnered with them, where a lot of their brands that contact them or actually get funded know about RangeMe to put their products on to get promoted and get in front of retailers. And a lot of them have actually had great success. Another partnerships is the emerging brand section at Nielsen, for example. We did a marketing partnership with them where a lot of their new brands and emerging brands found out about RangeMe. And actually, a lot of them as well got great success because these are brands that are emerging and retail ready.
But that doesn't help the person listening right now that says, I'm an aspiring entrepreneur. I'm an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. Great. You figured out partnerships and that made you money. But how do I go out and make those partnerships?
You've got to think about who else is touching your targeted consumer. So what else are they using? What else do they need?
So who
to make
potentially
their...
has the distribution that I could benefit from?
Yeah.
But then how do I get them to pay attention to me? Do I add value to them? Do I go to them?
It's a reciprocal value.
Okay.
So if, I guess in the case of RangeMe, we're actually offering their constituents, their suppliers, something of benefit. I mean, the fact that we know that a product that was referred through one of our suppliers is going to be in 2017 on the shelf at a major chain store is huge. And how much credibility does that partner get for actually that referral?
Okay. And so what does step one look like? Where do I find these people? Do I look them up?
Yeah. You firstly have to build your business. You have to get to the stage where you have a few clients, critical mass, and then you actually have enough behind you with a story to tell to get that traction.
Yeah. You're already successful. Then you go out and you can figure out mutually beneficial relationships where either A, you both simultaneously add value to each other, or B, which happens a lot of the time, you have to add value first and hope that with good faith and goodwill, it will come back to you. And these people will say, hey, that you added value to us. You've made a deposit in us. Now we'll add value back to you.
Yes. I think in the best scenario, it's when you both can benefit
at the same time. A lot of the times, though, what I found in businesses, you know, people typically think of networking as who is the best person at this event or this association or this group or this organization that I can get something from? Like, who's the best person here I should talk to because I can get something from them?
Yes.
And I flip networking on its head and I look at who here could I add value to and make a deposit in that when I put value in them, like a bank account, I add a deposit into their account, it will build interest that later I can benefit from. And so, you know, it's kind of like partnerships or
Absolutely.
Relationships. Look at who you can give value to. Don't ask for anything in return. And, you know, ideally, you're giving to the right people. That's the key. Not just giving value to everybody. You find the right people. Mm-hmm. And rather than saying, oh, I'm going to ask them for help, you say, I'm going to add value to them. I'm going to deposit in them. And later, that's going to build interest and I can ask for something later. And if you do that enough times, you know, it does come back. You may have made a deposit in 50 people, 100 people. Maybe only 10 of them come back to you. But I think in my experience personally, you know, you can have a very successful business like you've been able to do of structuring these partnerships. But it does come down to adding value first. And I think a lot of people make the mistake of thinking, well, who's the best person I should go and ask something from?
Yeah, no, you have to be able to give some. I believe reciprocal is the best way to go.
Yeah.
But I think that you need to be able to show them the value that you can give to them.
And a lot of times people aren't in a position where
yes.
the value that they can add is of proportion.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're a small company, it's a big company, they're like, screw you.
Of course.
You don't stand a chance.
Of course.
Not getting mutually beneficial.
Yeah.
We make $100 million or $1 billion a year. You do 1 million.
Mm-hmm.
And so in some of those cases, you have to say, look, we're going to do all of this for free. We're going to provide our service for free based on X, Y, Z. If this happens, then we talk about doing something where it's mutually beneficial.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a lot of times I think that's something that needs to happen. Nikki Jackson is joining us. She's the CEO and founder of RangeMe. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. I want to talk about social media. Do you guys use it at all?
We do. We use Twitter a lot, LinkedIn, a bit of Facebook as well, because these small and emerging brands grow their products.
And that's where they're finding
Facebook.
Out about you?
A lot of the time, yes.
Okay.
We do a lot of social media as well.
Okay,
definitely.
Cool. So the small companies are finding out about you on there, and are those where the people, the suppliers, 5 minutes, they're coming on every 5 minutes? Like, I'm just confused. How are you getting every 5 minutes?
Well, we also help the retailers we work with manage their inbound proposals. So if you think about Whole Foods Market, Target, Petco,
so
some of our
get a
big
ton
clients,
of them, they send them to you.
We help manage their inbounds for their buyers through our platform, and that also helps fuel the growth.
So do they just send you like a list of 1,000 and then you just break that down and it's like every 5 minutes?
No. So basically,
or do they literally send you them just consistently like nonstop? Or is it like here's a chunk, like here's 1,000 suppliers. You guys are going to vet them for us.
So what we do is we actually, if you go to their corporate websites or their social, or their supplier portals, you'll see information about RangeMe managing the new product submission process.
Okay.
So an example is if you go to a local store, a local Whole Foods store, and you say that you're a new innovative supplier wanting to get in front of the category buyers, you'll be given collateral, which will talk to how you actually load your products up into RangeMe to directly access the right category buyer through our unique technology. So the technology is wizardry. It's got lots of algorithms and clever intuitive filters and preferences, which ensure the matching is ideal for that category buyer and also for the supplier to make sure that we're ultimately serving both sides.
So is your strategy of preeminence that differentiates you from anybody potentially competing against you? Is it the, as you refer to it, as the wizardry, the algorithms and the coding on the back end?
Yes. And we've got an awesome A-class tech team who are building out these features to really streamline the discovery process for these category buyers and make sure that we are presenting to the buyers the best possible product mix that meet their objectives and their category assortment plans.
Okay. And so this sounds like you had to raise money for this business. I mean, you guys have had a lot of success pretty early on.
Yep.
So can you disclose the amount of money you raised?
I won't disclose the amount of money we've raised because we're more private about that. But I would say that we've been able to attract the attention of incredible investors and advisors alike.
Okay.
So just by way of example, one of the investors in our earlier round was the co-founder of Eventbrite. Everyone knows Eventbrite. Mm-hmm. Eventbrite. Steve Jang is an advisor to us and an investor as well. And he was one of the first advisors to Uber and still works very closely with Uber. So we've managed to attract a lot of great talent, a lot of great VC investors as well, who are very prominent and well-respected and well-known in San Francisco.
If you could go back and talk to yourself in your first year of business, what would be maybe one or two pieces of advice you'd share with yourself? Because whatever that is, it's probably beneficial for millions of people listening to us about what they should probably be aware of.
Yes.
You know, for myself, there's a lot of things, but I want to hear from you. What's one or two things?
I think the challenge is you surround yourself by so many people. So you mentioned all those stakeholders, and you get so many mixed opinions about what you should do and what you should be doing. So that is probably the one of the most difficult things as I look back, and now I'm sitting in that this chair now, that you really have to, you have to hear everyone and listen to what they say, digest it, and then think, okay, well, what is right for this business in the next quarter, in the next 6 months, in the next 12 months? And so part of your role as a CEO and a founder is trying to distill all these ideas, all these thoughts, all these recommendations, and all this advice, and really create the right path forward with a strong leadership team behind you.
So that's what you would go back and tell yourself?
Yes, I would be saying, like, know that that's going to happen. Because in the very beginning, I was like, yes, surround yourself by as many people as you can. And then what I realized is that the more you surround yourself with so many people, the harder it sometimes can be. So you really have to pick and choose
the
right people. And I have been so fortunate to find the right people who have been honest, fair, and who you can be honest with, which is the most important. And then I think the other thing is, be open-minded, because you never know who that person that's sitting next to you at a conference.
Never know who
you
they
never
are,
know who they are,
who they
and
know.
You never know what they're going to do.
Nikki, a pleasure having you on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Now FLogic with the founder of Rise Nation, Roger Scaffold. How do you define an entrepreneur?
I feel that entrepreneurs just walk differently. You know, you could just tell from a guy who's just really confident, has really put a lot into his business, and, you know, they construct themselves properly and really go to work. We call it the grind.
Did you always see yourself becoming an entrepreneur?
I always wanted to be an entrepreneur when I was in high school, since I was in high school. And I wanted to be an NFL player ever since I was 9. So, of course, both of those ended up working out in my favor.
What skills have you taken and applied to entrepreneurship?
The skills that I took from football into entrepreneurship was trusting my gut, leadership, character. Like, those intangibles really work when you're trying to start a business.
You had the idea. What was the first step you took?
When I get a good idea, the first thing I want to do is take it to my team. I want to make sure that we're all on the same page, so that we can move as precise as possible. The one thing you don't want to do is to have some type of friction in between you and your team when trying to make something work.
Are you living with a growing prostate? Do you pee more often than you used to? Do you wake up to go? Be honest, is there a drop in your romantic life? Prostate problems don't go away on their own, so you need to call for a free bottle of Super Beta Prostate, the number one non-prescription formula for your prostate. The ingredients are natural. With Super Beta Prostate, you'll have less urges to urinate, less waking at night, and an improvement in your romantic life. Try it for free. Pay only shipping and handling. Super Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules to get the same active ingredient in just one Super Beta Prostate tablet. Stop running to the bathroom and call us now for your free bottle. Hurry, this free offer won't last. Call 1-800-507-1004. That's 1-800-507-1004. 1-800-507-1004.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated. What other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family?
Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630. Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Now let's go to Mark Lack.
So what are the best ways to engage with influencers so you can grow your business? We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. Joining us to answer that question is Eric Dehan. He's the CEO and co-founder of Instabrand. Eric, it's a pleasure to have you, brother.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. So what are the best ways? You're an expert. This is what you do for your business.
Yeah. So the first step is figuring out what your business is, and that really determines the strategy for how you approach with influencers. If you're a new business just looking to get started, if you're a business with a bit of wind under your sail and you're really taking off, it depends on where you are and what you're looking for.
So a new brand versus an established brand.
Right.
Okay.
So the way, we break down the influencer marketing space and the sort of influencer economy, you have your short tail, which are your celebrities, your mid-tail, which, as the name applies, these are your mid-tail influencers with anywhere from 70,000 to 500,000 followers, decent growth, great content. And then you have your long tail, which are a lot of very small influencers, 10,000 followers. Depending on where you're going to play as a new business, if you're, if something like budget is a big constraint for you, you'd look more at the sort of long tail. Long tail is less efficient in terms of CPM. They're more expensive, right? Because you have to pay these influencers something to get out of bed and post. But at the same time, the cost for engaging with one of these influencers is lower. So you might not get that same bang for your buck, let's say, as you would if you went for mid-tail talent.
Okay.
But at the same time, you're able to scale it at a lower budget, right? So with like something like $10,000, you could work with anywhere from 5 to 15 influencers, maybe 20 influencers on the long tail. Versus with a mid-tail influencer, you might only work with one.
Okay, so I think that's great advice to know just kind of like the tiers that they fall in.
Yeah.
But what I really want to know is the practical steps from the beginning to engage with them, because that's great advice when we're on maybe step 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
But what's step 1 to engaging with these influencers? You said it. You added context, which I love, which is it depends.
Yeah.
Are you a big business who's been established, or are you a beginner business?
Yeah.
But for either one, what's the first step?
So, again, first step, I like to look internally, right? What do your own unit economics look like as a business owner?
What are the goals that we have that an influencer can maybe be a vehicle to help grow?
Right, and how much can you invest in internal resources to do so, right? If you're just getting started.
What do you mean by that? That, like, to hire a company like yours versus...
Right, or hiring people internally to help coordinate. You know, I say for brands, if you're getting started and you're working with a handful of talent, it's great to go reach out to influencers yourself, because it gives you that perspective of how the influencer economy works.
So then you know that you should just hire your company.
when it gets to a certain point. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly. But if you're going to work with, you know, you're getting started, you need to work with 3 to 5 influencers. As a business and a business owner, you could invest your time into building those relationships, because it takes time to build these relationships to the point where it makes sense. But if you're starting to really take off and hit a trajectory, it comes time to bring in a company that really gets this.
So that's the thing for you. You're somebody who does this. You said you have over 100,000 influencers on your platform.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be a business owner, right? Play with me here. I'm the business owner. I'm reaching out to these influencers.
Yeah.
What's the best way to do it? Do I just reach out to them on their social handles? Do I somehow find their email?
Yeah.
Some of them probably have PR people or agents between me and them.
Yep.
So how do I go about approaching them?
Yeah.
And what is the right finesse? Is it just going straight for the ask? Is it providing the value?
Yeah.
What's the way to do it?
Yeah. So it's going in, asking, right? There are many ways to contact them. Sometimes they'll have an email listed. Sometimes
many
they'll have
ways
a manager.
To do it, but you've done it 100,000 times.
we've done it. And we have a system in place to make this communication very quick and easy. If you're dealing with an agent or a manager, they can be great to work with. If you're dealing with an agency, you have to realize an agency, what's their job? Their job is, their client is the talent, not you, the brand. And their job is to charge a premium or as much as possible for their client, right?
Yeah.
They have a duty to their client. So getting into that, that's the mindset you have to take. Now, you're not going to get that same transparency in the market. So ideally, if you're getting started, keep that in mind. If you're going to reach out, if they have an agent. If they have a manager, it's a bit different than an agent. Yes, they have the same sort of incentive, but they're not on the sales side. They're managing this influencer from usually a 360 degree sort of perspective.
Yeah.
But yeah, reaching out could be anything from email, phone. Then you have to go into negotiations. You have to be mindful of things like contracts, right? Like, what are the exclusivity terms you're going to get into? What are the usage rights for the content? You have to also, the challenge you're going to face is the visibility, right? You have to understand who's this influencer, but also make sure you're looking at quite a few other influencers so that you're not, you know, so that you're not negotiating with a supply of one.
Yeah.
But you have options.
You have no references otherwise.
You have no references. And, you know, they say, options are one of the best tools for negotiation, right? Negotiation 101, the first person to walk away from negotiation has the leverage.
Yeah.
Right? If you only have one influencer you can work with as a business owner, you don't have leverage.
So the key there is there's a lot of different ways to reach out.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's going to boil down to either you doing the work or you hiring a company like yourself to do the work. CEO and co-founder of Instabrand, Eric DeHaan, is joining us. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, and we're talking about how to get engaged with influencers to grow your brand and grow your business.
Yeah.
We're going over some practical steps right now. What's sort of maybe the secret sauce or the ninja stuff that not a lot of people would know about? I think we're talking about kind of some boilerplate stuff here, like this is 101 for engaging with influencers.
Yeah.
What's some of the ninja stuff?
The ninja stuff. Well, that's a good question. It's
pull the curtain back right now. Let's share it.
Pull the curtain back. So the first thing is, it depends where you're coming from, right?
Okay.
But it's being prepared for all the moving parts that you're going to encounter.
Mm-hmm.
And so by that, I mean making sure that you have strong contracts in place up front. You have to realize that an influencer, there's a lot of qualitative things that come into creating content. The more you could define up front in terms of what that content should look like, the better it's going to be. Right. Also making sure that you're very clear about what the messaging is going to be. Right. So no conflicting mentions of other brands, what the hashtags are going to be.
Mm.
And one of the things, it's not really ninja, but it can be if you're just jumping in, FTC disclosure. A lot of business owners say, you know what? Hey, I don't want to disclose that this is an ad or a sponsorship. I feel like it might take away.
Yeah. They're actually cracking down on that right now.
Very much so.
That a lot of people are not technically, you know, legally able to promote something without disclosing that it is an ad. Hey, I was paid for this. and I'm holding up a Gatorade bottle. I was paid to promote this.
Yeah.
Now they're making you have to disclose that if you truly are getting paid.
Yep.
I can only imagine how difficult it's going to be to crack down on that and to really know when money's being exchanged to promote something online. Eric, pleasure to have you, brother.
Thank you.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.
Paid spokesperson Sose is not associated with LegalZoom nor a part of LegalZoom's network of independent attorneys.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Williams Paisley. When my mother was diagnosed with dementia, we didn't know where to turn. For my family, the decision to move her into long-term care was heart-wrenching. From the start, I wish we'd known about the National Association of Insurance Commissioners. They're free.
Biz Talk Radio.